Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Extremely beautiful. Thank you, Melanie. Excellent. You know, did you have a Thanksgiving that was as interesting as Beth's? Oh, yes. Life seems to career out of control, especially when we're determined to control it. And that's the whole part of the spiritual path, is knowing that we have no real control and we have to allow things and to allow them to unfold in miraculous ways that we couldn't have guessed, you know. At the first service, Melanie's daughter broke away from the caregivers back in the nursery and came down the aisle, came up onto the stage and grabbed hold of her leg, and she didn't skip a beat. She just kept singing. It was unbelievable. What did Jesus say? Allow the little children to come unto me. But, you know, your first impression is, no, that shouldn't happen. You know, and the caregiver was rushing, trying to grab the child. But it was actually quite beautiful, because we heard this beautiful music coming out of an adult, and then this precious little guileless child below just grabbing hold of her mother's legs, and all was in perfect divine order, right? Allowing something to be magical when you least expect it to happen. So we're at the beginning of Advent. Advent is traditionally the beginning of the church year, right? So now we get to put in our new Paschal candle, our new Christ candle there. I've been praying for the last several weeks because our stub has been getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I thought, is it going to make it through to Advent? But it did. And it was so good to put the big one in, though. So now we have a big candle, and we have the Advent wreath that we're going to light. And traditionally, we have members of the congregation come and light each candle during the period of this time of year. And of course, traditionally, it's hope, which is today. Then we have peace, love, and joy, which are great qualities, are reminders of the presence of the Christ as all the various qualities that we would want to embody in our lives. And we light the Christ candle, by the way, first. Some churches light it last, but we always think that God comes first, right? That the Christ is always present, and so let's light the Christ first. Out of that presence comes forth everything we could imagine. So Advent, the coming of Jesus. Now, in New Thought, though, in Unity, we go a little more than just Jesus coming. It's a reminder of the Christ presence, or the Christ within, coming to us again in remembrance, in our recognition. And you could say, what the heck does that mean? What is this Christ within, or the indwelling Christ, as Charles Fillmore used to call it, right? It's a nice idea, maybe. Oh, I have the Christ within. Well, what does that mean exactly? And, you know, Christmas can be misconstrued in so many ways, can't it? It's like, oh my God, here we go again. I mean, how many Christmases have we been through? I'm in my 64th, I think. And it's like, oh, here we go again, all the carols. Oh, you know, I've been bombarded. How many people put their Christmas trees up before Thanksgiving? Be honest, come on. Yeah, okay, there we go. I must have, I had a little tizzy about that last week, and my wife said, listen, we're in such a state in our country now, we need comfort. Let's let the trees go up early. It's okay. Let the joy begin. But, you know, we could be bombarded with it everywhere you go. You know, I was getting gas the other day, bombarded by some country music hymn or carol or whatever. And, you know, it's great, but after 6 weeks of it, it's... It's like the fingernails on a chalkboard, right? So our work is to discover it anew, right? To discover what is the true meaning of Christmas. What is this Christ within? And for me, the Christ within is simply a recognition of what already is. Because when I look around me and find that there's evidence that the universe is in perfect divine order. My ego may not be, but the universe is, right? Just as the child coming up and what happened for Beth is an evidence that there's an order deeper than our control issues around what is order. And this divine order is already present as light, as joy, as possibility. And my recognition of it, my remembrance of it, my consciousness around it, my awareness of it, is that I fall in love once again with that idea that all is well. And when I do that, joy arises, right? So we have the Holy Trinity. We have the Father of light, and we have the Son who remembers the light and feels the love of that light. And that bursts forth into joy. And it's a beautiful expression of what's possible for us. I asked the first service, how do you feel when you hear some bird song? What is it, you know, has there been a time in your life when that has been a magical moment? You know, so often we'll hear bird song, and okay, great, there's a bird singing. But sometimes you'll hear it, you know, what did it bring? Have you ever had that moment where, what did it bring? A certain joy, isn't it? It's because it's unforced. It wasn't planned. It came into your day unexpectedly, and yet it was beautiful. And it was about the fact that the bird just gave off that beautiful sound, and it's symbolic of the flight of the bird, too. The birds can fly. They can leave the earth, symbolic of the joy of existence, right? And in that moment, your day changed, perhaps, because you remembered. So in that moment of spontaneity, in that moment of awakening, you remember that all was in order, that there was beauty within things, and there was joy. So that's the Christ alive, the Christ remembering the goodness of being, right? And that's, for me, what it's all about. It doesn't have to be like a profound understanding or an enlightenment experience. It can happen with a bird song. It can happen, like we said last week, in the brushing of your teeth, right? Everybody laughed when I said, give thanks for brushing your teeth. But to me, it's a very important thing, right? It's not about all the profound things that happen to you. It's how attentive you are, how present you could be to the seemingly ordinary things of our lives and give thanks for them. Jesus said to Peter, he said, listen, there'll be a time, now you're strong, he said, there'll be a time when they will put a belt around you and take you where you don't want to go, right? When you're old and decrepit, you don't have your own power anymore. But when you have your own autonomy, celebrate it, right? Because now you're in your power. Take advantage of it. Don't wait until it's all gone. And I think that's the brushing of the teeth for me. It's a remembrance that we are capable beings. I'm not only capable of looking after my dental hygiene. I am capable of giving thanks for that, of celebrating the seemingly ordinary happenings in our lives. Because, folks, if we could really enjoy the seemingly ordinary things, they become extraordinary. Have you ever noticed that? Just that moment, just that bird song, just that sunset, just the play of light on the landscape, it can transform us. Very ordinary, just given profligately by God, and yet there it is, something wondrous happening just beneath our noses, right? Just sometimes forgotten if we're not paying attention. So I've come across this scripture that I want to unpack a little bit. But for me, it talks about how we can make this next 4 weeks meaningful in our lives. How to do it, in fact. It's from St. Paul from 2 Corinthians. Not 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 18. And it says this. It says, our unveiled gaze receives and reflects the brightness of God until we are little by little turned into the image that we reflect. This is the work of the Lord who is Spirit. Now, that's a powerful scripture for me because it's almost got the whole technique of how to be free. Right? Let's read it again. Our unveiled gaze receives and reflects the brightness of God. Now, just that line is pretty powerful. And this translation says brightness. The other translations I've read use the old-timey word glory, reflects the glory of God. But I like brightness, too, because it's light, it's bright. Until we are little by little turned into the image that we reflect. See, that's unity principles right there. And then whatever you focus upon, that's what you become, folks. So if we're focusing in God's direction, then we're filling ourselves up with God possibility. If we're focusing on, why don't they leave my life? Why are they here? Why am I living in misery? Then we build that misery, right? Because we cannot control circumstance all the time. And this is the work of the Lord who is Spirit. So let's unpack it. Our unveiled gaze. Now, what does unveiled mean? Remember, apply this to yourself in the next 4 weeks. Apply it today. This is powerful metaphysics. This is a powerful way of living our lives. We are invited to be unveiled. Eyes wide open. What causes veiling? Okay, ego, because what? We want it a certain way, so I see through my story of the way it has to be rather than what's really going on. Delusion. The delusion that I'm bringing to something. Based on what? Control, judgment, prejudice. See, if I've got a story about you, can I see you? No. All I see through the story I have about you, so I can't really see you. So the invitation is to be unveiled, to let go of judgment, right? To let go of the way you think it has to be, to see what is really going on, right? To allow, in other words, to be unveiled. So to get rid of the delusion of thinking that you know what the heck's happening at any given time. Because, like I said, the first impression, the first response for me when that child came up was, oh no! Then I thought, what can I do about it? Nothing. So let's see how it unfolds. It would have been more disturbing to stop it. Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. Yes. Because then she probably would have had a little bit of a... Yeah. There we go. That's right. Until I start talking about it, you know. Yeah. Because it was such a good story to talk about. There's a phrase in Britain, softly, softly... catchy monkey. Softly, softly, catchy monkey. If you try to catch the monkey with too much fuss, you know, you got a problem. So if you want to catch your monkey, and in this case, your monkey is your ego, you have to be softly, softly about it. Don't try and force it. You know, it's not going to happen. The unveiled gaze is the allowing gaze, right? So, okay, unveiled, that's good, we got that one. Gaze. Obviously, to gaze on something is to look, but what's different about a gaze, unveiled gaze? It's truly seeing something, isn't it? It's really paying attention. It's paying attention to what's going on at any given time. Rather than hooking your ego again, just simply to look. Let's really look at what's happening rather than come to easy solutions, right? Make it, fix it. It's not about fixing it. It's simply gazing openly with an open heart, right? An unveiled gaze. And an unveiled gaze, here's the beauty of it. It receives and reflects the brightness of God. See, the beauty for me is when I can just be present to what is quite amazing. We tend to think, no, I got to make it better, you know? I've got to go to Sandals and have them do everything for me and all this, planned fun, you know? And it's going to be beautiful. And they're always putting ads on for Sandals or one of those. Well, what does that tell you? They can't get enough people to go there. It can't be that great. If it was that great, they wouldn't ever keep advertising about it all the time. See, planned fun is rarely as good as it's made up to be, right? So we're always, but we do this. We always want to go to Sandals, quote. Nothing against Sandals. If you have stock in Sandals, it's good. I don't really care about Sandals. It's just using that as an example of the fact we're never happy with what is. But when we can be, when we can allow with an unveiled gaze to see what is present, it's that spaciousness we create in meditation. Then we begin to see that God is all present everywhere in everything. The light, the love, the joy is here already, right? Right under our noses. And we begin to receive and reflect the brightness of God. Two words, receive, as in receiving the good, but then what? Reflecting it back, right? It's a two-way street. I am the inlet and outlet of all that God is. So it's not good just to receive it. Once I receive the good news, share it. Right? Share it in some way. When she received the good news, it was in disguised form as, oh my God, I was a stupid idiot. But seriously, it came to her like that, but also with that came compassion, right? So then she was able to give compassion back. So she received the honest truth, was, oh, I made a mistake here. But then immediately there was that reflection. God gives us this. Whenever we have an awakening, God gives us the honest truth, but also gives us compassion to return, to make it right, to make it good, to make it beautiful, actually. So we are little, and then, so it receives and reflects the brightness of God, because God is here. Are we in agreement on that? God is here right now in fullness. We're just coming into remembrance of it. Until little by little, we are turned into the image that we reflect. What does that tell you? Why the emphasis on little by little? Step by step. This is in it for the long haul, folks. This isn't just boom and I've got it, right? You have to be consistent. You have to persevere with it. Have you ever had an enlightened moment where you thought, oh my God, I've seen it. I've seen the light. I'll never be miserable again. Oh my God, I can't wait to share it with everybody. What happens the next moment? Crash and burn, usually. Because the ego gets hold of it and says, man, we're gonna be a great twosome. And spirit says, no, buddy. It's just me. Right? The minute we sort of spiritualize our egos, we've got a big problem. And it tends to happen because we make that breakthrough. We're so, oh, wow. But really, it's a very humble thing. We have to persevere with it until we make it a natural, everyday, spontaneous, open experience. So little by little, we are turned into the image that we reflect. We become that. Somebody said after 9:30, you seem very spontaneous up here on the stage. And I thought, you know, for years and years, I had all my notes written out. I had it all planned. I remember when I left the podium, because I watched the speaker just come out from the podium and start talking. I thought, God, that would be awesome. But I was behind the podium. I had my notes. I was the opposite of spontaneous, right? But slowly but surely, little by little, I allowed myself to stretch into this and to trust that Spirit would be there to speak through me, right? And I've told you this before. When I was in seminary, I was scared that they would ask me to pray, and so I had my cheat sheet in my pocket so I could pull out my prayer. The opposite of spontaneity. But, you know, little by little implies that you do this enough that it becomes a natural thing, right? Just as learning to exercise, do a sport, it becomes eventually a natural thing for us. So little by little, we are turned into the image that we reflect. This is the work of the Lord, who is Spirit. In other words, we don't have to do this all by ourselves. Spirit goes with us every step of the way, right? Where we feel we're bereft of Spirit when we let go of control, it's the opposite. Spirit is more fully present when we let go of control. Stay open and amazed. I love that. So that's what I want to ask now, and that's a good way to start. What things can we do to embody this amazing scripture in our lives for the next 4 weeks as we begin to move towards welcoming Jesus on Christmas Day? How can we embody it in everyday life this next month? Pay attention to what's going on. What are you going to do to unveil? Cloaking devices down, as they say in Star Trek. Don't put expectations on things, right? Live without expectation. Or when you do have expectations, note it. Oh, yeah, I'm expecting something here. Wonder if that's true. Investigate. So unveil means not go without expectations. Note them when they come up. What else? Let go and let God is the old cliche, isn't it? That's so true. Easy to say, not always easy to do, You know? Take the ordinary and look at it again. Yes. It's amazing what you'll see. Right? Look in a corner. Look at a corner. I'm big into corners. I know it sounds nuts, but I am kind of nuts, and that's okay. But there's something about the way planes come together that creates something miraculous for me. So just looking at corners is fascinating for me. So when my mother's told me to go and stand in the corner, she was actually doing me a favor. Yeah, that's what I learned when I was there. So see, everything's for good, folks.
Don't be afraid.
Exactly, yes. The very thing that you resist is probably that which is impelling you forward, right? Yeah. So the very thing that put, Pema Chodron said famously, and we've used this many times, lean into the sharp points. The things that you don't want to go through, case in point with Beth, are usually the ones that will open us up the most, right? But don't go into it so hard that you hurt yourself. Lean into the sharp points. Don't impale yourself on the sharp points. And that's another thing I would say. There's a lot of stress that comes with Christmas time. So take it easy, right? Because the last statement is wonderful. This is the work of the Lord who is Spirit. The Spirit will take care of this. You don't have to do it all. Take a load off. Anything else before we finish? Say again. Hold in your heart. Yes. Be open and amazed, as Pamela said. It's a lot to do, isn't there? This is going to be fun. Shall we begin? Amen. So let's take a moment to give ourselves that great gift of being present to what is, which is the gift of meditation or prayer, contemplation, which is simply another way of saying take time just to be quiet and to look with unveiled gaze, with non-expectation, non-judgment, being willing to see. Because in the spaciousness that arises from that willingness, in the openness, in the silence of God's stillness, God's presence, good will flow. Good will be available. And every time we meditate, we create auspicious circumstances for the good to unfold. And so, from the work we do today, something tonight or tomorrow, somewhere this week, there will be an awakening and an opening, a moment of aha that is a direct result of our willingness to be still today. So the more we can turn within and be still, the more good there will be to flow into our lives. meditation is very simple. Simply be still. Allow. When thoughts come, allow them to come. Like all thoughts, they'll come and they'll go, but the stillness remains. So let's drop down now into that stillness. And experience the silence and the spaciousness of our innate goodness, which is Spirit, which is God, in the silence. And so we give thanks for this tremendous gift that is present always. The stillness, the silence, the spaciousness that is the wisdom and the love and the joy of Spirit. Just one moment away. One gaze. Thank you, God. You are good. Now and always, and so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.